That is, I was going to say that. I just want to say, Lori, thank you. And her and Steve's son, Jared, was on the piano. He is on staff at North Point, Andy Stanley's church in Atlanta, Georgia. And I guess that's Harold and Betty's grandson, right? Yeah. Wow, it is well with my soul. Praise the Lord. Did you get enough to eat? Yeah. Yeah, it's sad that we come away from the Thanksgiving weekend hungry. It's just sad. I'm the only one at my house that eats pumpkin pie. And there was a whole pumpkin pie left. And not to be wasteful, it'd be sinful, wouldn't it, for it to waste. So I've been doing all that I can to make sure that it's gone. And but I praise God. Well, I was sharing with my family on Thanksgiving Day what a difference a year makes. At this time last year, we celebrated Thanksgiving at 6975 Washington in Groves and was very thankful to be there and to have a home to live in. And very much thanks to the Gill family and to you for your support. But what a difference a year makes. Celebrating at 175 Crepe Myrtle Bridge City is a good thing. And at Clarice's sister's, who lost her home, and we're back. So we have a lot to be thankful for, and we praise God for that. And I know that you have so much for that you are thankful for, too. Christmas. Brother Joe is in Dallas and been praying for them. And I know most of you know that Sister Cheryl's dad was found with cancer, and they've been going through some tests. And in fact, they have scheduled surgery for December the 11th on him. But they're had a good report, very positive about that. And so they are being prayed for them as they are heading home today and coming back. So pray for them. And but he always goes sees family on this weekend. And I get to preach this weekend on this Sunday. And I always call it the first Christmas message of the year. And we've been doing this, I don't know how many years. And so I love Christmas. I love everything. I even love shopping. Go figure. Go figure. Yes, Toys R Us, midnight. I was there. Our son needed help, okay? He just called and said, can you come help? We went down to help him. So, you know, we all scouted out. So when we got through the door, he went there, she went there, I went here. 10 minutes. It was bagged, basketed, checked out. We were heading back to Bridge City. And y'all, from the door of Toys R Us, all the way around the side by the car dealership, all the way to the back where there were no lights, all the way around the other side, Al's former wear, all the way down. I'm telling you, bunch of idiots. I was there, just like this. And it was fun. And Clarice made the comment to Charlie. She said, you know, it's not about shopping. It's about the experience. For an hour, we got the chance to visit with our son. How many times do you get to lasso your children and to talk to them? Like what? What's he going to do, get out of line? Man, hey, good time to witness too, man. Person in front, person in back, where you go to church, you know Jesus, what are they going to do, get out of line? You talk about a captive audience. It was fun. Yeah, we did that, went back to Bridge City. We were back in Beaumont by 7, yeah. And we were going through the same thing again at 7. Back home, back there at 4. Did it some more. And I, on the way home, I told Clarice, I said, baby, if we do this again on Saturday, can we go in the other direction? Louisiana, early 30 on yesterday. So we were shopping in Louisiana. Good time. But listen, I love Christmas. I love it. And we were, not long ago, few weeks ago, I don't know when it was, we were in San Antonio. And we were shopping. But we were in this in the mall, and we went to this Christian bookstore. And while we were there, I noticed she had some Christmas cards in her hand. She was reading them. I said, do you remember the Christmas that we found this Christmas card and I preached a message based on the idea of that Christmas card? She said, it'll preach. And I looked at it and I thought, it will. So this is what the Christmas card said. I put it on the back. You know, one of the teachers asked me, said, you didn't leave any blanks. Have you forgot how to be a teacher? They're supposed to fill in the blanks. I just filled in the blanks for you. And this was the title of the Christmas card. It says, all I need to know about Christmas, I learned from Jesus. And then around the card front were these statements. First one says, Jesus is the heart of Christmas. Now, they didn't have the scripture there. Those I put for you, okay? Jesus is the heart of Christmas. Then it says, better to give than to receive. Look at the world through the eyes of a child. The gift of love is continuous. Miracles do happen. And peace is not a season. It's a way of life. And what I want to do for a while today is use the Christmas card thoughts. Please understand that the text is not from a greeting card. The text is from the Word of God. Maybe we can say it's a message inspired by Hallmark. But we're going to use God's Word. So let's look at that for the next few minutes about what we can learn about Christmas from Jesus. First of all, Jesus is the heart of Christmas. And the reason that I believe that this is so is that I believe that Christmas was in the heart of God before the creation of the world. I think that when the Trinity got together to create, I think they knew then that there was going to be the need for a Redeemer. And they set up the plan for that. Turn to your Bibles in John 1. And I want to read some text from there. And keep it in Luke, too, because we're going to be there as well. But in John 1 is where the Apostle John began to write about the Lord coming. And I believe this is Christmas. John 1. John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. While they were creating, they knew there was going to be a need for a light to come into a darkened world. And they set up that plan. They set up the way that it would happen. And the need for Christmas was birthed that day. What is Christmas anyway? If you think about it, somebody, what is Christmas? How would you define Christmas? It's the day set aside that we celebrate the coming of Christ. That is the day that we set aside that we knew that Christ came to be the Redeemer of the world that was set up before the world was even created. And it's a time that we celebrate that. And in the world that He came in, the world, He didn't come the way the world thought that He would. But He came just the same. He came as a baby. You ever asked yourself, why? Why a baby? Why did He come as a baby? Why did He not come as a warrior on a stallion? Think about this, coming to destroy sin. And why not come as a warrior, a leader in that fashion? It would have, to some degree, worked. Why not as a king? Can you imagine a king that would come and rule in peace? Why not that way? Why a baby? Let me give you a couple of reasons. Jesus was all God. He was all deity. Everything that was to be divine, He was it. But He was also all human. And in order to be all human, He had to come to this world the way humans come, as a baby, to experience it all. So that He could say that all things that you've experienced in life, I know because I've experienced it. He experienced birth. So He had to come as a baby. But also, the sacrifice thing. Back in those days, in order for sin to be forgiven, there had to be a sacrifice made. And so the family would pick out the most pure animal without blemish. And they would offer that as a sacrifice for their family. They would take it to the temple. They would sacrifice that animal, and its blood would cover the sins of the family. And it was almost like that animal was born for that purpose, to be the sacrifice for the family. And that's what happened. Jesus was born for that purpose. He was born to be the perfect sacrifice. And he came as the perfect, non-blemished thing there is. In fact, Jesus said himself in Mark 10, he said that for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to be a ransom for many. He was born with that purpose. From the cradle to the cross, Christ was without blemish, and he was the perfect sacrifice. Then Jesus is the heart of Christmas. And if Christ is the heart of Christmas, then, my friends, it has to be more than a mere happy holiday. It has to be a resounding Merry Christmas. We were in the store in Lake Charles yesterday, and we were checking out. And as we were checking out, I told the young lady there, I said, I don't guess it's too early. Merry Christmas. And she said, it's not too early. In fact, I started Friday. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you too. And I thought, there's no politically correctness here. And I thanked her for that. It has to be a Merry Christmas. For without Christ, we don't have Christmas. You know, and a thought occurred to me, what if come late February, the commissioner of baseball said, listen, it's baseball season, but this year we're going to play without the baseball. How silly. It's Christmas, but this year, let's play without Christ. How silly. We can't have Christmas without Christ. Christ is the center of Christmas. Jesus is the heart of Christmas. Another thing we can learn from Jesus is that it's better to give than to receive. Children can hardly wait for Christmas. I think they live 364 days for that 25th. I think stores do that too, but that's okay. They get so excited about Christmas. And you know, anticipating the big day and just the wonder in their mind. The anticipation, the expectation that you see in their eyes. Oh, they can hardly sleep the night before. I don't know what dances through their mind, but, you know, so many things goes through their heart and their mind when they're laying down and you're saying, go to sleep. And they're waiting for Christmas. The thoughts that they have of the morning that's coming. Jesus loved the children. He said, but Jesus called them to himself and he said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. And if the kingdom of God is to be seen through the simpleness of the mind of a child, shouldn't we see life through their eyes more often? Why do we make it so hard? Why do we make life so difficult when the kingdom of God is seen through the simpleness of the eyes of a child? Maybe we need to see life through their eyes more often. And what's wrong with getting excited about some things anyway? Think, you're not that old. Think back when you were a child and it was the night before Christmas. I know, and all through the house, everyone was dark, not even my, okay. But think about that day, that night, when you went to bed. Did you sleep? Wasn't it hard for you to go to sleep? Sure. It's hard to sleep. You don't know what happens when you go to sleep, but when you wake up, it did. It happened. And all the excitement. Oh, to see life through the eyes of a child. Now I want you to think of Christmas Eve as a parent. What do you feel the night before Christmas? Besides worn out. What do you think the night before Christmas? Don't you think about your kids? Don't you think about the I can't wait. I got them news. They're going to get this. Santa brought this. They can't wait. And the parents, we get so excited. And it's then that we realize it truly is better to give than to receive. Because we receive it all over again. We see the excitement in their life and in their eyes and in their joy and their voice as they squeal when they come into the room. See it through their eyes. All we as parents, we learn it's better to give than to receive. But listen, I want you to think back to that first Christmas night. I want you to think of that. And I want you to think of your heavenly daddy. And in that night when he's just about to give the greatest gift that has ever been given to a child, he was fixing to give us the gift of himself through his son Jesus Christ. Can't you see his excitement? Can't you see the anticipation that he has that when he's fixing to give the world the gift of all gifts, the most precious gift there is? For God so loved the world that he gave the most precious gift that whoever would believe in that would receive eternal life. Oh, see Christmas through the eyes of your heavenly daddy who gave the most precious gift. But here's the question for all the ages. What will you do with the gift that you've been given? What will you do with the gift that the Lord has given us on the first Christmas day? The gift of salvation. You see, God gave the Son. The Son gave His life so that we can have eternal life. What will you do with the gift? All we need to do is receive that gift and all that comes with it. Better to give than to receive. Another thing that Jesus taught us about Christmas is that the gift of love is continuous. Speaking of kids, moms, dads, what could your child do that would make you stop loving them? You see, love's not about a season. It's not about a season when it comes. You know, when the author Luke wrote, when he says that when the angels sang their last cantata of the night, and they said that glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill to men. It didn't say glory in the highest and peace for a season. He says it is continuous. Love is continuous. Proverbs 17:17 says a friend loves at all times. What can a friend do that would make you stop loving them? A friend will tell you what's right and what's wrong, even though they're what might be at stake. They tell you the truth. That's what friends do. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. The greatest gift of love was demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. He gave his life for his friends. There is nothing that we could do, just like your kids could do nothing that would make you stop loving them. There is nothing that could separate us from the love of God. Romans 8:38-39 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. He is the continuous gift of love. And if he is the picture of love, shouldn't we take on that picture as Christians? Shouldn't we take on that picture of love? After all, he did say in John 13, he says, and by this they will all know that you are my disciples, by what? Your love for one another. Love should be continuous. Jesus also taught us that miracles do happen. Let's turn together in Luke chapter 1. And I want to read the Christmas story. We'll begin with verse 26. Verse 26 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting was this. And then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." There's a miracle. The Christmas story is full of miracles. There's a miracle there, the miracle conception. But listen, turn over with me to Luke 23. Let me tell you about another miracle. Verse 43 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.' And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." Humanly speaking, he died. His life, humanly speaking, began as a miracle. His death, humanly speaking, ended with a miracle. No one took his life. He just gave it up. He just gave it up. No one killed Jesus, you see. He gave his life. He gave his life for you and for me. His life began with a miracle. Humanly speaking, it ended with a miracle by giving of his life. Miracles from his birth to his death, and on the third day, the miracle of all miracles, the tomb is empty. He rose from the dead, and then the miracle of ascension. Miracles do happen. From the manger, can't you see, dear friends, that when Jesus lay in the manger, the shadow of the cross was always on it. When he was taken from his mother's womb and laid in a manger, he was covered in the blood of birth. But on the cross of Calvary, he was covered in the blood for our rebirth. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Miracles do happen. He gave up a lot to be our Redeemer. He gave up a lot. As Dottie Rambo penned and sang, "He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. 'Twas the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me." He did that for you, and he did that for me. What a miracle. What a miracle. And finally, Jesus taught us this. He taught us that peace is not for a season. It's a way of life. Again, back to Luke's account when he said that, "Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill to all." There is no season for peace. It should be a way of life. And he said in Luke 14. And notice that the angels didn't say that it's peace for a while. It's peace unto the earth. It's peace for all time. And listen, I'm not naive enough to think, or to think back, or to know that in your heart right now, you may be thinking, how in the world can there be peace? How in the world can there be peace in my life? You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know where I'm at. How can there be peace? Just for a moment, please, think with me about the big picture. Think with me about what Christmas really is about. It's about a Savior to be born It's about a Redeemer to die. The big picture is that when we receive that Savior, when we receive Him, then we break the bondage of sin. I didn't say that we don't sin, that we are free from sin, but we're free from the bondage of sin. We're free from the fact that our life should change into a new life, and that we are broke. We have broken the bondage that sin holds over us. In fact, as the author of Hebrews 12:1 says, that the sin that so easily ensnares us, that we are free from that bondage. We are free from that when we receive Christ as our Savior. Listen, we're free from the wages of death that sin brings. We are free from that. Romans 3:23 says that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says that, and the wages of that sin is death. We're free from that because the next phrase of that says that there's the free gift that we receive from Christ Jesus. We receive that when we receive Christ. And when we think of that, when we look at the big picture of what Christmas is really about, we can live in peace. Because we have that peace that comes with salvation. When Jesus was talking to His disciples in John 14, He was trying to prepare them for His death. And He told them, He says, listen, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to build it. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. And listen, when I come back, you'll know the way from where I'm going. And poor Thomas, he says, but how can we know the way? We don't even know where you're going. And he says, but I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. Now, when you go on down to about verse 27 of John 14, as he is trying to just prepare his disciples, in verse 27 he says, and peace I give you. Now get this. And peace I give you. And then he says, my peace. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives peace, but as I give peace, I give you. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. When we look at the big picture, we have peace. Go to that slide. And in that slide, it's a play on words here. And it's like, if there's no Jesus, there's no peace. But if you know Jesus, you'll know peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He can give you peace. In the middle of whatever you're in, He promises that. Peace I give you. My peace I give you. It's more than about a season. It's a way of life. Let me read you something in closing. And I want to read it because I don't believe I could get the point across. When World War I erupted in 1914, launching the first great European war of the 20th century, soldiers on both sides were assured that they would be home by Christmas to celebrate the victory. Their prediction proved to be false. The men on the fronts did not get home for Christmas as the war dragged on for 4 years. During that time, 8.5 million people died. Hundreds and thousands or more were injured. The war to end all wars took a horrific toll on human life and transformed Europe. However, on Christmas Eve in December 1914, one of the most unusual events in military history took place on the Western Front. On the night of December 24th, the weather abruptly became cold, freezing the water and slush of the trenches in which the men bunkered. On the German side, soldiers began lighting candles. British sentries reported to commanding officers there seemed to be small lights raised on poles or bayonets. Although these lanterns clearly illuminated German troops, making them vulnerable to being shot, the British held their fire. Even more amazing, British officers saw through binoculars that some enemy troops were holding Christmas trees over their heads with lighted candles in their branches. The message was clear. Germans who celebrated Christmas on the eve of December the 24th were extending holiday greetings to their enemies. Within moments of that sighting, the British began hearing a few German soldiers singing a Christmas carol. It was soon picked up all along the German line as other soldiers joined in harmonizing. The words that they heard were these, "Still noch hillig noch." British troops immediately recognized the melody as Silent Night. They quickly neutralized all hostilities among both sides. One by one, British and German soldiers began laying down their weapons and venturing out into no man's land. It was a small area that was bombed out earth between the two sides, and so many soldiers on both sides ventured out that superior officers were prevented from objecting. An undeclared truce and peace had broken out. Frank Richards was an eyewitness of this unofficial truce. In his wartime diary, he wrote, "We stuck up a board with Merry Christmas on it. The enemy stuck up a similar one. Two of our men threw off their equipment and jumped out in the middle with their hands above their heads as two of the Germans did the same, our two going to meet their two. They shook hands, and then we all got out of the trench, and so did the Germans," Richards said. Richards also explained that some German soldiers spoke perfect English, with one saying how fed up he was with war and how he would be glad when it was all over. His British counterpart agreed. That night, former enemy soldiers sat around a common campfire. They exchanged gifts from their meager belongings, chocolate bars, buttons, badges, small tins of processed meat. Men who only hours early were shooting to kill one another were sharing Christmas festivities and showing each other family photos. The truce ended just as it had begun, by mutual agreement. Captain C.I. Stockwell of the Royal Welsh Fusiliers recalled how, after a truly silent night, he fired three shots into the air at 8:30 a.m. December the 26th, and then stepped up onto the trench bank. A German officer had exchanged gifts with the captain the previous night, also appeared on a trench bank. They bowed, they saluted, and they climbed back down. A few minutes later, Captain Stockwell heard the German officer fire two shots in the air. And the war was on again. Sometimes war is not fought with bombs or missiles or guns. Sometimes war is fought with words. Sometimes war is fought with feelings. Sometimes we are entrenched in a battle of loneliness. Sometimes we are in the battle of loss, loss of life, loss of job. Sometimes we are entrenched in the battle of hatred. Listen, friends, there's peace in the middle of war. Whatever battle you're fighting, listen, there is peace. And it's offered by the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. He's the miracle of Christmas. Jesus, who is at the heart of Christmas, wants to extend peace to you in the middle of whatever you may be in. He's extending to you the peace. His peace. Perfect peace. And who knows, when you receive it, maybe, just maybe, you'll realize that peace is not about a season. It's a way of life. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you did come to change lives. Lord, Christmas is more than about a baby in a manger. Lord, it's about a cross. It's about an empty tomb. Father, it's about changed lives. Father, I pray, Lord, that whatever war may be just raging in hearts today, Father, I pray that we come to realize, Lord, that you came for that day. You came for the wars that we fight. Lord, you came, Lord, to bring us the peace. Lord, to know that when we have received you personally as our Lord and Savior, Lord, that's the big picture. And Lord, you teach us how to walk every day, Lord, even in battle trenches. Father, you teach us that. Father, I pray for each person that's seated in this auditorium today. Lord, we all have battles. Lord, I pray, Oh, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we receive, Lord, what you have given, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace, Lord, that the world didn't give and peace that the world can't take away. Father, I pray that we receive that today. Lord, we give this invitation to you. It's yours. Do with it as you would lead. And Father, I pray, Lord, that hearts, Lord, not be stirred by stories, Father, but be changed by the Word of God today. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.